This is Audible.
QAnon, an objective guide to understand QAnon, the deep state, and related conspiracy theories. The Great Awakening Explained. Written by Michael D. Quinn. Narrated by Scott Q. Conrad. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved. This document is geared towards providing exact and reliable information with regards to the topic and issue covered. The publication is sold with the idea that the publisher is not required to render accounting, officially permitted or otherwise, qualified services. If advice is necessary, legal or professional, a practiced individual in the profession should be ordered. From a declaration of principles which was accepted and approved equally by a committee of the American Bar Association and a committee of publishers and associations. In no way is it legal to reproduce, duplicate, or transmit any part of this document in either electronic means or in printed format. Recording of this publication is strictly prohibited, and any storage of this document is not allowed unless with written permission from the publisher. All rights reserved. The information provided herein is stated to be truthful and consistent, in that any liability, in terms of inattention or otherwise, by any usage or abuse of any policies, processes, or directions contained within, is the solitary and utter responsibility of the recipient reader. Under no circumstances will any legal responsibility or blame be held against the publisher for any reparation, damages, or monetary loss due to the information herein, either directly or indirectly. Respective authors own all copyrights not held by the publisher. The information herein is offered for informational purposes solely and is universal as so. The presentation of the information is without contract or any type of guarantee assurance. The trademarks that are used are without any consent, and the publication of the trademark is without permission or backing by the trademark owner. All trademarks and brands within this book are for clarifying purposes only and are owned by the owners themselves, not affiliated with this document. Introduction. Conspiracy theories are a staple in American history, and they are attempting to be dismissed as contradictory. However, as the 21st century has progressed, such dismissal has started requiring deliberate blindness. In 2011, when Donald Trump laid the groundwork for a presidential run by openly challenging whether Barack Obama was born in Hawaii, I was a city hall reporter for a local investigative news site called Honolulu Civil Beat, as all the evidence and records indicate. Trump maintained that Obama was originally born in Africa and was thus not a Native American, making him ineligible for the highest office. In our Honolulu newsroom, I recall the debate. Should we even report this birther madness? 9 years later, when news of a terrifying new virus unexpectedly appeared, and with Trump now president, a series of ideas began to burst in the QAnon community that the coronavirus could not be real, that if it had been, it would have been generated by the deep state, the star chamber of government officials and other powerful figures secretly running the world, that the hysteria surrounding the pandemic was part of it. Any of these proposals will make room for Fox News and the public comments of the president. According to the New York Times, At least 145 times, Trump had retweeted accounts that had mostly centered on conspiracy theories like those of QAnon. Early on, the power of the internet was known. Still, the very essence of that power, it's the capacity to break every sense of common truth, destroy the framework of civil society and democratic governance, was not. The internet also allowed unknown people to reach millions of people, which Marshall McLuhan never dreamed of at a scale. The warping of common truth causes a man to attack a pizza shop with an AR-15 rifle. It creates online forums where people colorfully imagine a former Secretary of State is assassinated. It offers the promise of a great awakening, which will root the insiders and expose the truth. It causes chat sites to come alive with commentary speculating that the pandemic of coronavirus could be the moment QAnon waited for. None like that could have been conceived as late as the turn of the century. QAnon is emblematic of, and their passion for, the sensitivity of modern America to conspiracy theories focused to researching the truth. Chapter 1. The Genesis of QAnon. The roots of QAnon are recent, but even so, it can be difficult to distinguish myth from fact. One place to start is with Edgar Madison Welch, a profoundly religious father of two, who had lived an unusual life in the small town of Salisbury, North Carolina, until Sunday, December 4, 2016. Welch gathered his cell phone that morning, a bit of shotgun shells, and three loaded guns, a 9mm AR-15 rifle, a Colt-caliber six-shot revolver and a shotgun, and jumped into his Toyota Prius. He drove 360 miles to a well-to-do neighborhood in northwest Washington, D.C., parked his car, placed the revolver and his waist in a holster, kept the AR-15 gun around his chest, and walked through the front door of a pizzeria called Comet Ping Pong. Comet happens to be the spot where my then-baby daughter took her first-ever drink of water on a Sunday afternoon 2 years ago. There, children gather after soccer games on Saturdays with their parents and teammates, and local bands play on the weekends. In the back, kids challenge their grandparents to ping-pong matches as they wait for their pizzas to come out of the restaurant's big clay oven. Comet Ping Pong is a popular Washington venue. People found Welch straight away that day. In most social settings, an AR-15 rifle makes for a conspicuous sash, but particularly in a position like Comet. As parents, children, and employees hurried outside, several still chewing, Welch started to move through the restaurant, at one point trying to use a butter knife to pry open a locked door, before giving up and firing several rounds from his rifle into the window. There was a tiny computer storage closet just behind the entrance. That was not what he had planned. Welch had moved to Washington because of a conspiracy theory, now famously known as Pizzagate, which alleged that Hillary Clinton ran out of Comet Ping Pong with a child sex ring. The idea emerged in October 2016 when WikiLeaks published a cache of emails stolen from John Podesta's account, a former White House chief of staff, and then Clinton's presidential campaign chair. Comet was repeatedly listed in exchanges with restaurant owner James Alefantis and others. The emails were primarily about fundraising activities, but high-profile pro-Donald Trump figures, including Mike Cernovich and Alex Jones, began pushing the argument that the emails were evidence of ritualistic child abuse, which emerged in trollish internet corners such as 4chan, and then spread to more open precincts, Twitter, YouTube. Some conspiracy theorists have said it took place in Comet's basement, where there is no basement. The references to pizza and pasta in the emails have been interpreted as code words for children and young boys. Shortly after Trump's victory, as Pizzagate was booming through the internet, Welch began watching conspiracy theory videos on YouTube. He tried to enlist support from at least two people to carry out a guerrilla attack, texting them about his willingness to risk the lives of a few for the lives of many, and battling a crooked machine that kidnaps, tortures, and rapes babies and children in our backyard. Welch seems to have earnestly assumed that at Comet Ping Pong, children were being treated. His family and friends wrote on his behalf letters to the judge describing him as a loving father, a devout Christian, and a man who has gone out of his way to care about others. Welch had specialized in firefighting as a volunteer. He'd gone with the local Baptist Men's Association on an earthquake response trip to Haiti. A friend from his church said, "He shows the actions of a person who seeks to understand and apply biblical truth." Welch himself expressed what seemed to be sincere remorse, writing in a handwritten note sent by his lawyers to the judge, "It was never my intention to injure or frighten innocent lives, but I now realize how foolish and careless my decision was." Pizzagate was quickly disappearing. Some of its most prominent supporters, including Jack Posobiec, a conspiracy theorist who is now a reporter for One America News Network, the pro-Trump cable news channel, have backed up. Alex Jones, who runs the conspiracy theory website InfoWars and hosts a related radio show, apologizes for supporting Pizzagate in the face of the specter of legal action by Elefantis. Although Welch may have expressed remorse, he did not give any indication that he had stopped believing in the underlying message of Pizzagate, that a group of influential leaders raped children and got away with it. Judging from a burst of internet activity, several people had found ways to step past the episode of Comet Ping Pong and stay focused on what they saw as the greater reality. If you've been paying attention to the right voices on the right pages, you might see in real time how Pizzagate's central concepts were replicated, updated, and reinterpreted. The millions of people paying attention to sites like 4chan and Reddit will continue to learn about this clandestine and untouchable cabal, about its malignant acts and intentions, about its connections to the left wing, and particularly to the Democrats and Clinton, about its bloodlust and moral degeneration. You might also read about a tiny but swelling band of underground American patriots fighting back, and this would prove important. Taken together, all this established a philosophy that would soon have a name, QAnon, derived from a mysterious man, Q, posting on 4chan anonymously. QAnon does not have a physical venue, but it does have an infrastructure, literature, an increasing community of adherents, and much merchandising. It also exhibits other key attributes lacking by Pizzagate. It has the complexity and adaptability to maintain a campaign of this nature over time, in the face of inconvenient evidence. For QAnon, any inconsistency can be explained away. No sort of argument against it can prevail. And we are probably closer than the end to the start of its narrative. The community harnesses fear of a deep sense of belonging and fervent hope. How it breathes life into an ancient end-time problem is profoundly new, too. Looking at QAnon is seeing the advent of a new religion and not just a conspiracy theory. Many people were hesitant to talk about QAnon with me when I was researching this article. Adherents of the movement have often shown themselves able to take matters into their own hands. The FBI last year classified QAnon in an internal memo as a domestic terror threat. The memo took note of a California man who was caught with bomb-making materials in 2018. He had intended to strike the Illinois Capitol to make Americans aware of Pizzagate and the New World Order, NWO, that were undermining civilization, according to the FBI. The memo also mentioned a QAnon follower in Nevada who was arrested in 2018 after blocking traffic in an armored truck on the Hoover Dam. The guy, heavily armed, requested the publication of a report by the Inspector General on emails from Hillary Clinton. The FBI memo cautioned that conspiracy theories fuel the threat of extremist violence, particularly when individuals claiming to serve as researchers or investigators identify individuals, companies, or groups that they falsely accuse of involvement in the imagined scheme. Adherents of QAnon are feared online for vicious attacks on skeptics and incitement to physical abuse. Commenters took joy in explaining Clinton's possible fate on a now-defunct Reddit page devoted to QAnon. One person wrote, "I am shocked that no one yet actually murdered her." Another, "Buzzards ripped her rotting corpse to shreds." A third, "I want to see her blood flowing down the gutters." Recently, when I spoke to Clinton about QAnon, she said, "I'm only getting under their skin, unlike everyone else. If I didn't have Secret Service security, getting through my mail, finding weird things, monitoring the threats against me, which are still really high, I'd be concerned." She realized that the imagined world in which conspiracy theories put her isn't a crazy parallel universe. Referring to internet trolling operations, Clinton said, "I don't think until relatively recently most people have known how well coordinated they were and how many different components of their plan they put in place." On October 28, 2017, the now commonly referred to the anonymous user as Q first appeared on 4chan, a so-called image board notorious for its gruesome images, sickening photos, and violent teardown culture. Q predicted Hillary Clinton's imminent detention and a violent national rebellion, posting this: "Successful HRC extradition with many countries in the event of cross-border execution. Authorized passport to be flagged effective 10:30 at 12:01 a.m. Expect to happen huge, defiantly orchestrated protests and others fleeing the U.S. The operation will be performed by USMs, while NG is allowed. Proof check. Locate a member of the NG and ask if it is activated in most major cities for duty. 10:30. Then this: Mockingbird HRC was detained and not yet convicted. Where is Huma from? Check in on Huma. That has yet little to do with Russia. Why is POTUS surrounded by with generals? What is Army intelligence? Why go through the three departments in letters? What case of the Supreme Court allows for the use of agencies formed and authorized by MI versus congressional? Who has absolute authority over our military branches without conditions of approval until 90 plus in conditions of wartime? What is the language of the military? Where is AW held? Why? Why? POTUS will not be addressing the nation on TV. To avoid negative optics, POTUS needs to separate itself. POTUS understood that the expulsion of criminal rogue elements was necessary as a first step to freeing and passing legislation. Who is graded as having access to everything? Do you think that HRC, Soros, Obama, etc., have more influence than Trump does? Only imagination. Whoever owns this great land owns the presidential office. For a moment, they, Democrats and Republicans, had never believed they would lose power. This is not a fight against R versus D. Why has Soros recently donated all of its money? Why will he be putting all his money into an RC? 10, 30, 17. God bless you, fellow patriots. Clinton wasn't arrested on October 30th, but that didn't stop Q, who kept posting dark forecasts and enigmatic riddles with prompts such as, "Find the reflection inside the castle," often written in the form of enticing fragments and rhetorical questions. Q made it clear that he wanted people to assume that he was a Q clearance intelligence officer or military official, a degree of access to classified information that involves developing nuclear weapons and other highly confidential content. I use it because many Q followers do it, while Q remains anonymous, thus Q anon. Q's tone is conspiratorial to the point of cliché. I said so much, and follow the money, and some stuff must stay secret to the very end. The global cabal's demise is inevitable, Q prophesies. One of his favorite rallying screams is, "Enjoy the show," a nod to an apocalypse to come. What might have languished on a single picture board as a solitary screed incited fervor? According to Brandy Zadrozny and Ben Collins of NBC News, its popularity has been boosted by many conspiracy theorists whose promotion of Q has, in turn, helped to create their online profiles. By now, almost 3 years since Q's initial messages appeared, there have been thousands of what its followers call Q drops, messages posted by Q to image boards. To indicate the consistency of his identity over time, he uses a password-protected trip code, a sequence of letters and numbers that are accessible to other image board users. Q's trip code has sometimes shifted, causing wild flurries. As Q has relocated from one picture board to the next, from 4chan to 8kun, finding a safe harbor, QAnon adherents have only grown more devoted. If the internet is a huge rabbit hole containing infinitely recursive rabbit holes, QAnon has found its way down all of them somehow, gulping up theories of lesser conspiracy as it goes. The QAnon belief system looks something like this in its broadest contours. Q is an intelligence or military source with evidence that corrupt world leaders systematically torture children around the world. The malefactors are rooted in the deep state. Donald Trump works relentlessly to foil them. These individuals must all be destroyed, Q wrote in one post. The complete collapse of the global elite is inevitable, Q prophesies, but can only be done with the help of patriots who seek meaning in the Q's clues. To believe Q demands that conventional institutions be dismissed, government officials ignored, apostates challenged, and the press hated. One of Q's favorite rallying screams is, "You are the news now." Another is, "Enjoy the show," a term his followers see as a nod to the coming apocalypse. When the world comes to an end as we know it, everybody is a spectator. People who have taken Q to heart like saying they've been paying attention from the very beginning, the way someone might boast about listening to Radiohead before the bends. A pledge of foreknowledge is part of Q's appeal, as is the feeling of being part of a hidden society, intensified by the use of acronyms and repetitive phrases like "nothing can stop what's coming" and "trust the plan." One sentence that serves as a special touchstone among QAnon adherents is "the calm before the storm." Q first used it a few days after his initial message, and it came with a particular story. On the evening of October 5th, 2017, not long before Q first became identified on 4chan, President Trump stood next to the First Lady in a loose semicircle of about 20 senior military officers and their spouses for a portrait in the White House State Dining Room. Reporters had been invited to watch the poses and smiles of Trump's guests. Trump simply couldn't stop talking. "You guys know what that's like?" At one point, he asked to draw an incomplete circle with his right index finger in the air. "Tell us, sir," asked one onlooker. The response from the president was self-satisfied, bordering on a drawl. "Maybe it is the calm before the storm." "Which storm is it?" asked one of the journalists. "Maybe the calm before the hurricane," Trump said once more. His repetition was apparently for dramatic effect. Picture shutter whirls got louder. The reporters got insistent. "Mr. President, what storm?" Trump's curt response: "You'll find out." Those 37 seconds of presidential uncertainty instantly made headlines. Relations with Iran had been strained in the last few days, but they would also become fundamental mythology for eventual Q followers. The circular hand motion of the president is of special interest to them. "You may think he was going around him to the semicircle," they say, "but he was drawing the letter Q in the air." Was Trump playing John the Baptist's role in announcing what was to come? Was he the anointed one himself? It is difficult to know with any accuracy the number of QAnon adherents, but the ranks are rising. According to an online tally by the progressive group Media Matters for America, at least 35 current or former congressional candidates have endorsed Q. These candidates either praised QAnon, specifically in public, or cited QAnon's slogans with approval. One Republican candidate for Congress, Matthew Lusk of Florida, contains QAnon under the Issues section of his campaign page, asking, "Who is Q?" QAnon has now reached every major social and commercial forum and any range of fringe websites. Tracy Diaz, an evangelist from QAnon, known online as Tracy Beans, has 185,000 followers on Twitter and more than 100,000 subscribers to YouTube. She helped bring QAnon out of the darkness and enabled its introduction to mainstream social media. A publicist described Diaz as very private and refused interview requests. On TikTok, videos containing the hashtag QAnon received millions of views. Too many QAnon Facebook groups, many of the ghost towns, are there to do a proper count. But the most popular ones publish thousands of things every day. Reddit banned QAnon groups from its violence incitement site in 2018. Adherents are still watching out for signals from on high, plumbing for portents when there is no input from Q itself. For example, the coronavirus, what does it mean? In some of the major Facebook groups, people exploded in a whirlwind of speculation, spreading a hypothesis that Trump's decision to wear a yellow tie to a White House briefing about the virus was a sign that the epidemic was not real. He informs us that there is no virus threat because it is the same color as the maritime flag that represents the vessel that has infected people on board, someone wrote. 3 days before the coronavirus was formally deemed a pandemic by the World Health Organization, Trump was retweeting a QAnon-themed image. Who knows what that means, but to me, it sounds amazing. On March 8th, the president posted a photoshopped image of himself playing the violin, overlaid with the words, "Nothing will hinder what is to come." Q himself released a triptych of ominous posts on March 9th that seemed definitive. The coronavirus is true but welcome, and followers shouldn't be scared. The first post, posted the night before Trump's tweet, and echoed, "Nothing can stop what is coming." The second said, "Worldwide is the Great Awakening." The third was simple, "God wins." A month later, on April 8th, Q went on a posting spree, dropping 9 posts over 6 hours and touching on some of his favorite subjects, God, Pizzagate, and the elite's wickedness. "They'll stop at nothing to reclaim influence," he wrote in one scathing post, claiming Democrats, Hollywood, and the media orchestrated propaganda campaign. Another Democrat accused of fostering mass hysteria about the coronavirus for political gain. "What is the primary advantage of keeping the mass hysteria republic? COVID-19? Think to vote. Are you still awake? Q." And from the Ephesians, he expressed these verses, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and be strong in his strength. Put on God's full shield so that you can stand firm against the devil's schemes." Anthony Fauci, the longtime director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, has become a target of ridicule among QAnon supporters who don't like the bad news he is providing or the way he openly opposes Trump. Trump referred to the State Department as the Deep State Department in one March press conference, and Fauci could be seen over the shoulder of the president, suppressing a laugh and covering up his ears. By then, QAnon had already proclaimed Fauci to be irredeemably corrupted, as in 2012 and 2013, WikiLeaks had discovered a couple of emails that he sent to laud Hillary Clinton. Feelings about Fauci on social media sites among QAnon supporters range from "Fauci is a deep state puppet" to "Fauci is a black hat." The term used by QAnon for people who helped the evil conspiracy Q warns of. One person tweeted this using the hashtags Deep State Cabal and QAnon, catching Fauci's hand gestures and body language at the press conferences. How does he communicate? Another shared with Barack Obama a picture of Fauci standing in a laboratory with the caption, Obama and Mr. Fauci in the laboratory producing coronavirus. Seek. Deep State Doctor. Recently, the Department of Justice approved heightened security measures for Fauci as threats against him increased. In the last days before Congress approved a $2 trillion economic relief bill in late March, Democrats insisted on clauses that would make voting by mail simpler for voters, causing Q itself to weigh in with dismay. These people are sick. Nothing will hinder what is to come. None at all. The believers of QAnon. On a bone-cold Thursday in early January in downtown Toledo, Ohio, a crowd swelled up. By lunchtime, 7 hours before Trump's first New Year's campaign rally began, the line to join the Huntington Center had already snaked around two city blocks. The air was electric with anticipation, and the whole scene contained an aura of Jimmy Buffett meets Michigan militia. Lots of white people, lots of smoking, all red, white, and blue. Someone had affixed a two-story banner over the top of a burnt-out brick building down the street. It read, President Trump, welcome to Toledo, Ohio. Who is Q? Intelligence? Militaria? F+? Q plus is a QAnon shorthand for Trump himself. Vendors sold Q buttons and T-shirts at the event. QAnon merchandise comes in a large variety. Great Awakening coffee, $14.99, and QAnon bracelets with tiny silver pizza charms, $20.17, can be purchased online. Interview. I worked my way to the back of the line, making small conversations and wondering who knew anything about QAnon, if anyone. One woman's eyes were lit up, and she unzipped and removed her jacket in a single fluid motion, then made a little hop so that her back was to me. I could see a Q made of duct tape pressed onto her red T-shirt. Her name was Lori Schock, and the first thing she needed me to remember was the following. We are not a group of domestic terrorists. The Schock was born in Ohio and never left, as she put it, a lifer. She'd been working for most of her adult life at a Bridgestone factory, producing car parts. Real hot and dirty work, but good money, she told me. I got three kids through school. Today, she looks after adults with special needs in what she calls her pre-retirement career, spending her days in a tender routine of playing games with them and getting them in and out of the pool. Schock and her friend, Pat Harger, who had retired in Whirlpool after 32 years, came to the Trump rally. Harger's wife operates a catering company, which is what stopped her from attending that day's rally. Harger and Schock are lifelong friends. After grade 4, Harger told me, and we are 57. Now that the girls of Schock are grown, and she does not work a factory job, she has more time for herself. That used to mean reading novels at night. She doesn't own a TV. But now it's about studying Q, who first came to her notice when someone she met listed him on Facebook in 2017. What caught my attention was study. Do your own research. Don't take the matter for granted. And President Trump, I don't care who says it. Do your own study. Make your mind up. The QAnon universe is vast and broad, with meaning, acronyms, characters, and shorthand to learn layer by layer. The White House is home. Crumbs are hallmarks. CBTS stands for the calm before the storm, and WWG1WGA stands for where we go one, we go all, which has become a symbol of Q followers' unity. Both of these terms are strangely used in the trailer for the 1996 Ridley Scott White Squall movie. Look at it on YouTube and you'll see that the comment section is filled with pro-Q sentiment. There's also a Q clock, which refers to the calendar used by some Q supporters groups to try and decipher purported clues based on Q drops and Trump tweets. At the height of her dedication, Shock spent 4 to 6 hours a day reading and rereading Q Fall, scouring online papers, taking notes. Okay, she says, she's spending an hour or two a day more. When I started first, everybody I thought was nuts, said Shock. This included her daughters, who are really liberal supporters of Hillary and Bernie, Shock said. I love them anyway. They think I'm mad, but it's okay. Harger once felt the Shock had lost it too. I had reservations about her, he said to me. I'd sent her texts saying, Lori. He was just saying, what the fuck? She said, Shock, laughing. That will be my response to him. Do your own analysis. And I did, said Harger. It's like, wow, he said. Taking a page from Trump's playbook, Q is always railing as bogus against legitimate sources of information. Shock and Harker rely not on news sources run by journalists, but on details they find on Facebook. They neither read the local paper nor watch any of the big TV networks. You cannot look at the television, said Shock. Your news channel won't tell us shit, says Harker, who likes One America News Network. Not too long ago, he used to watch CNN and couldn't get enough of Wolf Blitzer. We've always been glued to that. We have always been, he said. The guy Trump really opened our eyes to what's going on. And Q? Q shows us the stuff that will happen beforehand. I asked Harger and Shock to provide examples of predictions that had come true. They were unable to provide information and instead encouraged me to do my research. When I asked them how they explained the events Q had expected never to have occurred, such as the arrest of Clinton, they said deception was part of Q's strategy. Shock said, I think it was expected there was more stuff that happened. Her tone was rather than indignant. I feel as if God guided me to Q. I feel like God has moved me in this direction. Harger wanted me to know it was the first time he had voted for Obama. He was born into a Democratic family. His father was a union leader. But that was before Trump emerged, and Harger was persuaded he couldn't trust the institutions that he once felt he could. Next to him, nodded horror. The reason I feel more optimistic about Trump is he's not part of the system, she said. At one point, Harker told me to look at what happened to John F. Kennedy Jr., who died in 1999 when his aircraft crashed off Martha's Vineyard into the Atlantic Ocean, suggesting that Hillary Clinton had assassinated him. Alternatively, a group of QAnon believers argues that JFK Jr. fabricated his death and that he was a behind-the-scenes Trump supporter and probably even Q himself. Some expect his dramatic public return so that he could serve as Trump's running mate in 2020. When I asked Harger if there was any evidence to support the assassination claim, he turned my question around. Is there any proof that there is no evidence to support the assassination claim? Reading Schock's Facebook page is a conflicting practice, a toggling between banality and animosity. In her profile photo, she is in a yellow kayak, bright red hair streaming out of a ski hat, a huge grin on her face. There are her daughter's pictures and a granddaughter with curls from Shirley Temple. Nevertheless, Q is never far away. On Christmas Eve, Schock shared one post that seemed to be coming straight out of the QAnon universe, but also dragged into an older classic conspiracy. X marks the spot over Roswell, New Mexico. X-17, fifth force particle. Coincidence, X plus Q? She posted a different post the same day, claiming that Michelle Obama is a man in secret. Someone answered skeptically, "I am still unconvinced. She is demonstrating and behaving badly, but a man?" Schock's reply, "Study it." There was a post alleging that Representative Adam Schiff had raped a dead boy's body at Chateau Marmont in Los Angeles. Harger appears here with a, huh? In the comments, and a note that the Christian evangelicals were going after George Soros. Schock playfully taunted libs and her Trump-hating friends in other tweets, and even posted a video of her daughter singing Christmas carols. I asked Schock in Toledo if she had any theories about Q's identity. She immediately responded, "I think it's Trump." I asked if Trump thinks she even knows how to use 4chan. For the uninitiated, the message board is notoriously confusing, nothing like Facebook and other social media designed to make fast and regular publishing simple. "I believe he knows much more than we think," she said. But she also wanted me to know that Trump wasn't about their obsession with Q. There was something she had at first been hesitant to talk about. "Now," she said, "I feel that God has taken me to Q. I always felt as if God had moved me in that direction. I feel like it's deceitful. God will tell me in my mind it is enough. But I don't feel it. I pray. I hope." I said, "God, do I need to waste my time on this? And I don't believe like I can quit feeling." Arthur Jones, the documentary filmmaker Feels Good Man, who tells the story of how internet memes invaded politics during the 2016 presidential election, told me that QAnon reminds him of his childhood growing up in the Ozarks in an evangelical Christian family. He said that many people he met then, and many people he sees now in the most devoted areas of the world, are profoundly interested in the Book of Revelation and in trying to unpack all of its pretty hard-to-decipher prophecies. Jones went on, "I think the same kind of person will suddenly begin to pull Q's threads and begin to feel like something is beginning to fall into place. If you are an evangelical and look at Donald Trump on face value, he's lying, he's stealing, he's cheating, he's married numerous times, he's a sinner. But you're trying to find a way he's part of God's plan in some way. You can't tell you what kind of Q follower you're coming across. Anyone who uses a Q hashtag may be a true believer, like Shock, or just someone who cruises a site and plays along for a vicarious thrill. There are people who know that Q is fiction but participate because there is a QAnon aspect that converges with a role-playing live-action game. Shock and Harker appear prototypical in the vast array of Q supporters. They happened on Q and clicked on something. The fable conveniently fitted into its current narrative. Q may be anonymous, but QAnon movement pioneers came out in public and built up their broad audiences. By his online username, David Hayes is best known, Praying Medic. He exudes the even-keeled bureaucratic drive of a middle school principal in his YouTube videos. Praying Medic is one of the planet's most famous QAnon evangelists. He has over 300,000 followers on Twitter and a large amount of YouTube subscribers. Hayes, a retired paramedic, is living in a terracotta-roofed suburb in Gilbert, Arizona, with his wife Denise, an artist he met at Christian Mingle's 2007 dating site. Both identify themselves as former atheists who came late in life, after previous marriages, to their faith in God and each other. Hayes has been following, or similar to Q, from the beginning. QAnon is pretty darn interesting, he wrote on December 12, 2017, 6 weeks after Q's first 4chan message on his Facebook page. He wrote about a sudden call the same day, which he felt. My dreams indicated that God wants me to focus my attention on politics and current affairs. I decided to do a daily news show and current affairs on Periscope after some prayer. I'm trying to broadcast one single day. The videos are uploaded to my YouTube channel as well. That's it. Hayes is a Q Universe hero. His Q for Beginners Part 1 video has been viewed over 1 million times. Any of the people following Q will think of themselves as conspiracy theorists, Hayes says in the video. I don't think of myself as a conspiracy theorist. I consider myself an investigator of the Q. I have nothing against those people who want to pursue the conspiracies. That is their stuff. That's not my material. Hayes has built a following, partly because of his sheer ubiquity, but also because he wears a skeptic's mantle skillfully. I'm not one of those crazies. Hayes, however, is not a hobbyist at QAnon. He's an associate instructor. Earnings sources are to be accessed. Small, but growing. On Amazon, Hayes's book, Calm Before the Hurricane, the first of what he claims might easily be a Q Chronicles 10-book collection, which sells for $15.29. In the introduction, Hayes writes that since 2017, he and Denise devoted their full-time attention to QAnon. Denise and I were encouraged by those who continued to assist us as we set aside our regular work to study messages from Q, he wrote. He has written several other books giving a peek into an earlier life. The titles include Hearing God's Voice Made Plain, Beating Your Enemy at Heaven's Court, and American Sniper, Spiritual Warfare Lessons. In 2018, Hayes enrolled Praying Medic as a charitable religion in Washington State. Hayes informs his followers that he thinks Q is an open-source intelligence project made possible by the Internet and built within the intelligence community by patriots who combat corruption. Ultimately, his understanding of Q is philosophical and relies on the notion of a great awakening. I think the great awakening has a double scope, Hayes wrote in November 2019 in a blog post. It speaks of an intellectual awakening, the public's knowledge of the fact that we were trapped inside a corrupt political framework, but the discovery of the elite's unparalleled depravity could contribute to our depravity becoming more conscious of it. The knowledge of sin itself is a fertile ground for spiritual revival. I believe the spiritual awakening long prophesied lies on the other side of the wind. Beyond the largest social media sites and picture boards, the most famous QAnon personalities have a presence. The Q universe contains various blogs, proprietary pages, and chat app styles, as well as alternative social media outlets such as Gab, the forum notorious for anti-Semitism and white nationalism, where many people have gathered, forbidden from Twitter. Patreon accounts are sponsored by vloggers and bloggers, where users can pay them in monthly accounts. There's money to be made from YouTube advertising as well. That seems to be the main priority for Hayes, whose videos were watched more than 33 million times overall. His Q for Beginners video contains advertisements from companies such as Verbo's holiday rental platform and the international pro-Trump tabloid, the Epoch Times. Q evangelists have taken a half-marketing, half-redundancy strategy to publishing everywhere. If one forum cracks down on QAnon, as did Reddit, they won't have to start somewhere else from scratch. Already entangled in the war between good and evil, QAnon has engaged in another fight against the notion of an open people's web and a powerful, few-controlled, gated internet. Who are Q? Any new belief system faces opposition. Matt Patton, a former SWAT team sergeant at the Broward County Sheriff's Office in Florida, was pictured on an airport tarmac along with Vice President Mike Pence in December 2018. Patton wore a patch that bore the letter Q on his tactical vest. The office of the vice president tweeted the photo and then went viral in the QAnon culture. The tweet was taken down quickly. It was demoted to Patton. On a dull day in August, when I knocked at his house, no one replied. But as I turned to go, I saw two huge bumper stickers on the front of the white mailbox. One said Trump, and one said hashtag QAnon, Battle Patriots. Q itself lost its forum late last summer. It had moved from 4chan to the image board 8chan, fearing the web had been infiltrated, and then 8chan went dark. 3 days before I stood on the doorstep of Patton, 22 people were killed in a mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and police announced that the suspected gunman had posted a manifesto on 8chan hours before the attack was carried out. The episode had unsettling resemblances with two other shootings. The alleged gunman in a murderous rampage in a synagogue in Poway, California, had posted an anti-Semitic letter on 8chan 4 months earlier in April 2019. The man who killed 51 worshippers at two mosques in New Zealand had posted a white supremacist manifesto on 8chan weeks earlier. Jim Watkins, the owner of 8chan, was asked to testify in front of the House Committee on Homeland Security after El Paso. 4 weeks earlier, Watkins had bought the platform from its creator, Frederick Brennan, now 26, who ultimately cut all ties to HN. This is, regrettably, at least the third act of white nationalist terrorist violence connected to your website this year, wrote Mississippi Democrat Betty Thompson and Alabama Republican Mike Rogers when they summoned Watkins to Capitol Hill. Americans need to know what you, as the owner and developer, are doing to deal with the proliferation of terrorist material on 8chan, if anything. 8chan had already lost key services, which forced her to shut down. Cloudflare's CEO, who helped defend the site from cyber attacks, described his decision to remove 8chan in an open letter after the shooting of El Paso. The reason is simple. They proved to be lawless, and that lawlessness caused several tragic deaths. Watkins vowed to keep the site off the internet until his appearance at Congress. He is an ex-U.S. Army helicopter repairman who got into the website business while still in the Army. He opened, among other things, a popular porn site called Asian Bikini Bar in 1997. He regularly chants hymns on his YouTube channel, where he posts under the username Watkins, Xerxes, reads verses from the Bible, praises Trump, and touches on the concepts underlying QAnon, warning against the deep state, and reminding his audience members that they are now the actual reporting tool of the press. He also shows off his array of fountain pen and yoga activities. In September 2019, when he arrived on Capitol Hill, Watkins was wearing a bulbous silver Q pinned to his chest. His testimony took place behind closed doors. 8chan flickered back to life in November as 8kun. It was available sporadically, limping through a series of cyber attacks. It was supported by a Russian hosting service, which is usually synonymous with spreading malware. When Q reappeared on 8kun, he used the same trip code on 8chan. He posted other clues that were intended to check the consistency of his identity, including a notebook picture and a pen that had appeared in previous posts. The theory of Frederick Brennan is that Jim and his son, Ron, who is the administrator of the site, knew that 8kun needed Q to attract users. I certainly believe 100% that Q knows either Jim or Ron Watkins, or that Jim or Ron Watkins is hired, Brennan told me. Both Jim and Ron denied knowledge of Q's identity. I don't know who Q is, Ron told me via a direct Twitter post. In September 2019, Jim told an interviewee on One America News Network, I don't know who QAnon is. We are running an anonymous website. Both say they only care about keeping 8kun because it's a forum for free speech. 8kun is like a sheet of paper, and the users decide what's written on it, Ron told me. There's a lot of different topics and users from a lot of different backgrounds, he said. Jim launched a super PAC in February called Disarm the Deep State, which echoes Q's messages and runs paid ads on 8kun. Brennan has been in rivalry with Watkins for a long time. In the Philippines, where they both lived until recently, Jim sued Brennan for libel, and Brennan is vigorously battling Jim's attempts to become a naturalized citizen there. They kept Q alive, Brennan told me. If Q didn't go on the latest 8kun, we wouldn't be talking about that right now. The main reason we talk about that is that they are directly linked to Q. And, you know, I constantly worry that there will be some kind of shooting or something relevant to Q as early as November 2020 if Trump loses. Or parents kill their kids to save them from the hell world to come because the deep state won. Such are real opportunities. I just feel like what they did is completely unethical to keep Q running. Q's narrative is premised on the need to keep Q secret. That is why Q originally chose 4chan, one of the last places on the social network designed for anonymity. I have always linked Q to preceding figures like John Titor or Satoshi Nakamoto, Brendan told me, referring to two internet anonymity legends. The name used by the mysterious Bitcoin developer is Satoshi Nakamoto. John Titor is the name that someone appears to be a military time traveler from the year 2036, used on many message boards in 2000 and 2001. QAnon adherents see Q's anonymity as confirmation of Q's integrity, considering their profound distrust of anonymous media outlets. QAnon faction has its hunches, alliances, and interpersonal dramas relating to the Q identity issue. Three different categories fit into the hypotheses. In the first category are hypotheses suggesting Q is a single person posting all alone this whole time. This is where you can find these people who say Trump is Q himself, or even that praying medic is Q. This category also includes the possibility, posed by people outside QAnon, that Q is a lone Trump supporter who started posting as a form of fan fiction, not realizing it would take off. And the suggestion that Q started posting to mock Trump and his supporters, not expecting people to take him seriously. The second group involves Brennan's suggestion that the Watkins either pay Q or pay someone to carry on as Q or even behave as Q itself. The third group of theories holds that Q is a collective sharing access to the account with a limited number of individuals. This third category involves the notion that Q is a modern sort of military intelligence open source service. Many QAnon adherents see sense in Trump tweets that contain words beginning with the letter Q. The latest developments around the globe have amply rewarded him. I am wonderful queen and UK friend and admirer, Trump started one tweet on March 29th. He had tweeted the previous day, I'm contemplating a quarantine. The Q crowd jumped on both tweets, claiming that if you disregard much of the letters and posts, you'll notice Trump's confession. I'm Q. Reason versus faith. In a Miami coffee shop last year, I met a man who in recent years got a whirlwind of attention for his research on conspiracy theories, a professor of political science at Miami University called Joseph Usinski. I've known Usinski for years, and his options are complex, highly educated, and far from what you'd consider political knee-jerk. Many people believe, he told me, that according to ideological lines, a tendency for conspiracy theory is inevitable. This is incorrect, he explained. It is easier to think of conspiracy theories as being independent of political affiliation. It is a specific type of mind wiring, and it is usually defined by the acceptance of the following propositions. The schemes hatched in hidden places govern our lives. While we technically live in a democracy, all are controlled by a small group of individuals, but we do not know who they are. When big events happen, pandemics, recessions, conflicts, terrorist attacks, it's because the shadowy organization operates against the rest of us. QAnon isn't a far-right plot, Yusinski continued, the way it's sometimes portrayed, despite its pro-Trump narrative. And that is because Trump is not a stereotypical far-right leader. Q appeals to those with the greatest attraction to some form of conspiratorial thought,